great to have y'all back. Great to be back with people. You in your homes, wherever you are, in your car. Great to be with you, though. Once again, it's Speaking With Gravity, the Speaking With Gravity podcast. It's a mental health podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this today because...
It's a little cold.
We're chilling here.
But this conversation going to bring the heat, though.
Right.
We're going to bring the heat.
We're not going to get angry about it, right?
No.
That's not how we're going to deal with that. We're not going to be angry. That said, today we're talking about dealing with anger, mm-hmm. right? How to deal with anger. So another great episode. We'll hop right into it. Do want to introduce ourselves to you once again. And I want to point out again, right, that this season is the first time that this trio has been before you leading this podcast up. We've all made appearances before now, but now we're a thing, right? We're a group. We're together. So I'm hoping that you enjoy this season. Hoping you enjoy all the great content that's brought to you. Once again, I'm your host, Joshua Williams.
Hey, everybody. I am Hannah Williams. I am a mental health professional located out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Super excited to be a part of this trio. We're learning ourselves. We're here to learn, help other people grow as an individual and just as a community as a whole.
My name is Terrence Dawkins. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in Spartanburg, South Carolina, but also licensed in North Carolina. And I just love having mental health conversations or conversations surrounding around the mental health topic just because it helps spread awareness about mm-hmm. mental health and helps heal communities.
I think awareness is the biggest thing, right? Being aware of mental health issues, mental health occurrences, things that we might think are not so common, right? We mm-hmm. might think, hey, I'm the only person that's dealing with this. I'm one of few, and we may be one of many, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important to have a platform like this where we put these things out in the open, right? So we talk about them, increase that awareness, and just let you know that you're not alone mm-hmm. in your struggle.
You are not alone. And one common emotion that all of us humans experience is anger. Mm. And that can be seen in different forms, different severities, different levels. And anger is so powerful. It's so powerful if we allow it to be.
Mm-hmm. Most certainly. And I think so the episode today is about dealing with that anger, right? How do we deal with that anger? I think that a lot of times, y'all back me up on this. Y'all let me know I might be wrong. But I feel as though people, one reason that anger stays as prevalent as it is people use anger, right, sometimes, to mm-hmm. deal with their challenges, to deal with their problems, to deal with things that come up. I feel like people use it, right? I feel mm-hmm. like they feel like that's why anger is there, right? So that I can use it to get over. What about what y'all think?
Yeah.
I think, okay, here it goes.
Here we go.
So my thing is, and I'll speak to, and this could be within, family relationships, friendships, or intimate relationships, but I think people use anger because, number one, they've seen it be used as a way to communicate. Growing up, or they see it just within their communities or somewhere they see it. And then what happens is they associate it with anger, or using anger means I'll be heard. And so in order for me, for you to listen to me, in order for me to get my point across, I got to yell, I got to become frustrated, I got to become angry. And then if you become angry, I got to be even more angrier than mm-hmm. you are in order to get my point across. And they probably learned that behavior from some particular place.
What I'm hearing is that sometimes that emotion of anger can feel like a competition. Mm-hmm. Who's the maddest? Or who can show the most anger? Who can speak the loudest or yell the loudest? Who can be the most violent? And that competition is so unhealthy, but it's not rooted in a place of right now. This comes from generations or different patterns of anger being passed down, and we may even inherit a sense of anger from our environment or from the people around us. But how do we deal with that? How do we manage it? And more so, how do we control it so that we express anger in a healthy way?
Yeah, I want us to touch on how do we manage it? How do we control it in a healthy way? I think that's really important. But, you said something about community. I think you said, Hannah, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be I think you have to be careful. I want to say almost what you, I don't want to say what you let into your community, but I guess I'll say it like this. I feel like some communities may thrive on anger in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. For instance, I know growing up, I felt like in my community, I felt like anger was, like we were saying earlier, it was kind of a tool, right? And the angriest person in the neighborhood or the angriest looking person on the block, if you could look scary, if you could look angry, mm-hmm. then, you know, maybe that'll tell people that you're tough, or it'll say different things about you. And I think, like, in our communities, like, we have to really combat that, right? Or we risk our communities becoming angry places, yeah. right? Full of, 'cause angry people make angry places, yeah. right?
I think, in addition to people using anger as, like you said, a form of competition in relationships, I also think it's more of like a survival mm-hmm. technique as well. So mm-hmm. if I become angry, you know not to mess with me.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially, like I say, in a community where anger is the norm. If I show anything less than anger, frustration, irritability, then they're going to say, oh, you soft. Mm-hmm. Oh, you weak. So now, guess what you're going to have to do at that point? I'm going to have to show and prove to you that I'm not soft, that I'm not weak, or and as a result, probably get bullied if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as a survival technique, I got to match it or be even more increasingly more angry, more mad, frustrated, and show that, or else something bad is going to happen to me. And I think what happens is we develop these different beliefs about whether that's depression, anger, sadness. We develop these beliefs, and from those beliefs, we do these different behaviors.
Mm.
So again, the belief is I have to be angry in order for me to survive. If I don't, people may pick on me. If I don't, then, you know, something's going to happen bad to me in my family system. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a little bit where that comes from.
I think what our community can do a better job of doing is listening to the people that are expressing that emotion of anger. I heard you say, like, most people feel unheard or mm-hmm. unseen, so they have to develop this identity of being mad. I often think about the stereotype of the angry black woman and how for so long some women express their emotions, but they feel unheard. They feel unseen. So now they have to develop this identity of being mad and being more dominant and more assertive than what they would like to, just to simply be heard. And this can be seen across the board. It can be seen in men as well. It can be seen in children. The one child in the class that always acts up and misbehaves, they crave that attention. They just really want to be heard while expressing those internal feelings. So how can we hear and listen and understand those individuals? I think that's very important to recognize. And it starts with yourself.
So is it safe to say that a lot of times anger is the effect and not always the cause of certain behaviors? Like, I'm not I'm not acting out just because I'm angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the cause. There's a root cause that comes before
yeah.
that. You know, there's a reason for me being angry. And so when you see that behavior, when you mm-hmm. see me fighting, it's not because I'm this angry child or whatever. It's maybe it's because I'm not
yeah.
I'm not getting something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I often think of the analogy of a tree. So when we see a tree, we see the trunk of it, the leaves, the stems. However, we do not see the roots.
Mm-hmm.
The roots are so powerful, and they add up. They make the tree what it is. So without those roots, the tree would, you know, fall over. But all we see is the trunk of the tree and the leaves. However, those roots are so important. I feel like anger stems from some of those roots, whether it's feeling unheard or whether there's a void that someone may be experiencing. I feel like that sense of anger, that emotion of anger comes from those underlying issues that we don't often talk about. And sometimes not even talk about, we might not always identify or know that they're existing.
Y'all seen the movie Titanic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That iceberg.
Do you remember when they saw that iceberg? They was like, oh my God, we're going to hit the iceberg. We need to turn it.
Mm-hmm.
So I always ask people, what were they really afraid of? Were they afraid of the iceberg directly in front of them that they could see? or where they're afraid of what they couldn't see. Mm-hmm. And then people will be like, what do you mean? I say, which part did the most damage to that boat?
What they couldn't see.
The part they couldn't see. The part that was up under the water. That's the part that pretty much punctured the boat and all the water came flooding in, and that's when it sunk. So I tell people it's not about what you see. Anger is the outward expression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the under, like you said, the roots, the underlying thing could be I'm hurt because this person did this, or I'm frustrated, I'm sad, I'm disappointed. But that all comes out as anger. Mm-hmm. And people, I feel like, learn that from somewhere, that in a way to experience or to express these other emotions, it has to come out as anger.
All right.
But we need to do a better job with learning how to, number one, identify exactly the specific emotion we're feeling, and then being able to communicate that specific emotion so that we can, like you said, get to the root problem to fix it.
Yeah. I agree. So I think y'all both brought up really great points in thinking about, so how do we deal with anger? I mean, I know that those underlying issues, right, we have to address them. But for someone who's on their journey, right, their healing journey, and they're addressing some of those underlying issues, but also, you know, they still have the effect. The anger is still there. Mm-hmm. How do they, you know, what are some good strategies for dealing with that anger, though?
Think about identifying different coping skills, whatever that is for someone. That could be listening to music. That, like for me, it's like I said before in a previous episode, it's riding my motorcycle just because I feel free and I feel like I can clear my head. But listening to music, reading a book, playing video games, spending time with friends outside of maybe what has gotten you angry or upset about, spending time with family. People say do pretty much is do anything that's going to take your mind away from what you're angry at. Because you can't focus on two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mind is completely focused on having a conversation with friends, you ain't going to be thinking about what's angry. Unless you and your friends decide to talk about it. And that just would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just really listening to the lyrics of a song, my mind's not focused on what made me angry. So doing something that you enjoy, but really putting yourself fully into that activity or with that person, that's how you probably can deal with anger.
Yeah, I just want to feedback off of that a little bit. What I'm hearing you say is that we just have to release that anger.
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal experience, sometimes I got so used to releasing that anger in a negative way and masking that anger that it wasn't until I learned how to release it in a healthy way that I'm like, wow, this actually feels good. You know, I'm so used to being, you know, resorting to maladaptive things to release anger versus releasing it in a healthy way, like you mentioned, listening to music, exercising. That can look like different things, different forms. Some people do yoga. Some people do a more aggressive form of exercising, such as lifting weights. But I think the key here is finding your niche, finding that hobby that allows you to release that anger and understand it in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask y'all something. So I do feel like there's a difference between rage and anger. I feel like that. But is there a difference between rage and anger?
I feel like one is a little more short term.
Which is rage. Okay.
Rage is more short term and in the moment, and anger is more long term. In my perspective, in my opinion. So one, we experience intense, quickly, suddenly, which is rage. It's like a lightning bolt. You know, we see it and then it's gone. And then on the other hand, anger is more persistent, more constant. It's always there if we allow it to be there. But it can come on and impact us just as quickly as rage can, but it's persistent. So I think that's the difference in to me.
Yeah, I think rage is impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he or she just went out in a rage, mm-hmm. And that means that person did something that was so, like you said, short-term, intense, that had some type of big impact, mm-hmm. and most of the time it's impulsive. And then people after the rage has subsided, they'd be like, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's impulsive, but then it's also done where I feel like people aren't really thinking about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's just more of, let me react this way in order to get this out so I can feel better. Because that's mm-hmm. really what we're trying to do. If with any emotion, we're trying to do something in order to help us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can, and if I'm in an argument and I have to talk over you, or I have to, you know, do whatever to get my point across, I'm going to do it because that's going to help me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that we want to do as people, is to feel better. And so we will do anything to try to help us feel better quickly.
And I think anger, and even rage as well, but anger can lead to so many impulsive decisions that we look back and we regret. In the long run, we allowed our temporary emotions at that moment to impact something so long term, and then we look back and we're so regretful. However, if we're able to learn how to manage that feeling of anger, we don't have to necessarily make those impulsive decisions that impact us for a long time. And I feel like an emotionally mature person recognizes that I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get angry sometimes. People are going to disappoint me. But how can I manage this? How can mm-hmm. I express it in a healthy way and move past this feeling of anger?
Do y'all feel like that voice inside of your head is a real thing?
Yeah, I think a lot of times we don't listen to that voice inside our head, because that voice could tell you you need to act out of anger or rage, but a voice could also tell you, yeah, you probably need to calm down. But mm-hmm. we don't really, because I think we have, I'm not really going to get into the whole therapy part of it, but when we have these conversations, we really need to listen to that mm-hmm. inner voice sometimes, like both sides of it, because you have a part of you that wants to act out into a rage, but then you'll also have a part of you that wants to calm down and relax.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are in conflict with those two parts, I feel like you need to identify the pros and cons to each situation to then make a conscious decision instead of an impulsive decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's just always negative, negative, negative. I think you always have that inner voice that probably, like you said, the devil or the angel that's mm-hmm. telling you both what's going on or what you should do, have an opinion, but you need to weigh the pros and cons.
Mm, it's so important.
Yeah, I look at that voice as like a voice of reason. It could mm-hmm. be reasoning mm-hmm. to me in a bad way, believe it or not. Or an impulsive way. It could mm-hmm. be reasoning in a more healthy way. I think like cultivate, like almost having a conversation with that voice sometimes, or at least with yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think when you have those conversations with yourself, I think what you start to do is start to almost train that voice, right? Almost say, you know, like perfect example, I know somebody, they cuss all the time, right? And they come off as kind of angry. I can tell that that's in their thoughts, right? And so then in those situations, when they've said things to me in private, and then they get mad with someone, I hear them say those same things, mm-hmm. right, that they were thinking out in private to me. So that lets me know that voice of reason inside their head is prone to reacting in that certain way. But what I try to tell them is, you know, when you get by yourself, you know, work on that. Work on mm-hmm. how you speak to yourself, right? Work on how you speak to yourself. Reflect on that. And then when you're put in those situations, maybe that voice of reason, right, would take a different perspective, right? Would mm-hmm. be more positive. I mean, that's my hope, right? I know that's something that's worked for me. So do you think that you can, you can kind of train that voice of reason?
Yeah. I think it takes practice.
Yeah.
it takes practice, and you even mentioned this, but it takes practice watching our tone of voice.
Watching.
Mm. It takes practice. If we grew up in an environment where we always saw everyone around us yelling at each other within our household just to communicate, mm-hmm. Get me the remote, or...
that's that voice.
You know, that is how we're conditioned and how we're going to communicate. It takes practice to recognize... I'm yelling over a remote right now when I can simply say, hey, can you pass me the remote? That takes practice, and it's not easy, but you have to be so cognitive and remind yourself to hold yourself responsible to practice those things. Something else I could think of is not just watching your tone of voice, but watching your choice of language. So if you're used to cussing or cursing when you're mad, how can I change these things, these patterns and behaviors that I'm used to doing in order to become a better and healthier version of me? So I think it just takes practice, which is not easy, but it's needed.
Yeah, that vocabulary is so important. Like, I think it's important for a parent to help their kids have a more expansive vocabulary, mm-hmm. right? Because then you can kind of define things differently. You can instead of saying, I'm angry, right, you can say, I'm feeling let down, mm-hmm. right? So it's like kind of...
Because.
So it's like... And you start to... Kids and people, or grown adults, start to think these things out in their heads instead of, I'm mad, I'm angry, mm-hmm. and that's it. That's like a really limited vocabulary. Mm-hmm. So I think when you talk about language, that's kind of what it takes me to, is kind of expanding your vocabulary so you can... explain yourself better, right? Mm-hmm. And define yourself better in these situations. I think it's really important.
Yeah. And also, we have to identify what triggers that anger.
What triggers it?
What mm-hmm. triggers that anger? Is it words? Is it someone's actions? Is it a person? Is it a place? Sometimes it can even be a scent. We smell something and it reminds us of something, you know, way back during our childhood. But what triggers that anger? Like, recognize those triggers and let's put in the work to manage that anger when we're feeling triggered.
I also think what really goes on is when you're in a situation that's triggering you, your brain considers it a threat. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole part of the trauma response of my brain says, oh, now you're in a threat. And then it goes to another part of my brain that kind of triggers or kind of sifts through our catalog system and say, oh, like you said, was there another time where I felt this or experienced mm-hmm. this? And then it picks up on a different experience. And then it goes to another part of your brain that says, well, we need to be in that fight or freeze or fawn mm-hmm. Response. Mm-hmm. And then that's what happens. So what people don't understand is anger is really a biological response for survival.
Yeah.
So pretty much your body is automatically doing it. That's what I meant. When I said biological, it's automatically doing it for survival. Mm-hmm. And it's based off of earlier experiences, it's based off current experiences, and it's based off how you interpret the event. And your brain does it so quickly that you're not even aware of it right. at the beginning. And that's why I said people need to take time to take a moment, take a step back in order to try to assess the situation mm-hmm. to figure out, all right, what is my next step? So becoming aware of doing that.
And I think the sooner we're able to condition ourselves to manage our anger in a healthier way, the sooner we're able to flourish. So if a child is taught from birth how to express their emotions and how to express and control their anger, they're going to grow into a teenager and adult that is able to do the same. However, if we have spent our entire lives expressing our anger in a negative way, it's going to take even more work in the long run, you know, a 15-year-old learning how to manage their anger compared to a 50-year-old. So the point that I'm making is that we have to start this process now. I feel like the emotion of anger, sometimes it can build on top of one event, can build on top of another event. And next thing you know, we have like a dramatic outburst because we have all of this anger stored up inside of us. And I often think about the snowball effect. You know, the anger can start really small, but over time it just layers up until we burst. So we don't want that burst to happen. We want to be able to seek professional help, talk to our support system, and use those healthy coping strategies to release the anger.
So, I mean, it's several different ways that we can think about anger. The important thing, you know, is to think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't neglect it. Where is it coming from? Who, what type of people are we triggered around? Is our anger triggered around? And what has been our role in our own anger? With mental health, you've consistently heard it said, you know, it's your responsibility. So managing your anger, right, is and your role in your anger is your responsibility. And, you know, we have to be addressing that, I think, constantly. And I think about, as we wind down here, I think about what are some of the results of unmanaged anger. A few that come to mind to me is like a defiant personality. I've mm-hmm. seen that in people, and that's scary because with that, you know, a lot of times people look for things to be angry about sometimes, look for things to be defiant about. I've also mm-hmm. seen isolation be a big one, and I hate that. I hate to see a family member in isolation. A lot of times it's because, you know, it probably starts from other behaviors, but that anger is one that's really that you can really see, right? And you know, people, you know, other family members, other, you know, friends might not want to be around that person because nobody wants to be negative about mm-hmm. and have to deal with your anger, right? You should be dealing with your anger. And then you're not going to be comfortable being around people either if you are, you know, if you're yeah. angry and you're upset all the time. So I think about, but real quick, so some of the unmanaged, the effects of unmanaged anger. Anything come to mind?
The effects of unmanaged behavior.
Unmanaged anger, yeah.
Lack of relationships, friendships.
Quality ones, yeah.
Quality, mm-hmm. especially that quality relationships. Because you can be friends with people, the other people that are angry, but that doesn't mean that they're the quality ones because they're not going to be the ones to tell you when you shouldn't be angry. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones that's going to, you know, in a way put you in your place. So I think the impact of friendships, the impact of family relationships, the impact of intimate relationships, you start to see that. Impact on your ability to be active and engaged professionally because now you're upset all the time with when your boss or supervisor says something or, oh, they talked to me wrong. I don't know who they think they're talking to. You know, those mm-hmm. different things people say. So I think that's what you'll start to find. You'll start to find disruptions not just in one place, but multiple places. And like I said before in the previous episode, people will just then blame other people for their actions and behavior. Well, they're the reason why I'm mad and they're angry. Mm-hmm. And I'm angry. So I think you have to take responsibility for your own actions and how you played a part in this situation to become aware of how can I make, what changes I need to make, and how can I make these changes.
And I think we can also, some of the effects of unmanaged anger, you can get into trouble with the law, you know, which is, you know, the elephant in the room. But mm-hmm. some of those impulsive decisions can lead us to legal trouble, which is not just impacting the people around us like you were speaking of, but it can impact us long term on a bigger perspective, on a bigger level. So, yeah, anger has a lot of negative effects and impacts.
Yeah, as we close out, Hannah, or Terrence, either one, but what's some healthy ways that we can talk about our anger, mm-hmm. that we can voice it so that people understand that we're angry, we might not, might not need to be dealing mm-hmm. with us right now. What are some healthy ways to talk about anger?
You can establish a boundary. If you know that you're not the type of person to have a healthy and effective conversation when you're super mad or when you're super angry, furious, set a boundary. Mm-hmm. Hey, give me 5 minutes. Hey, give me a day. Establish a healthy boundary, I should say. Don't say, I'm mad right now. Don't talk to me ever again. You know, establish a healthy boundary where you know your limitations, you know what you need in that moment to manage your emotions and communicate that boundary. And then on the opposite end, if you're the person on the opposite end, respect that boundary. Respect that someone knows their emotions well enough to know that, hey, I can't have an effective conversation right now because I'm too mad. We can revisit this conversation tomorrow and try to see eye to eye about it. So establish a healthy boundary.
Mm-hmm. I had something, but it just left me. But establish mm-hmm. a healthy boundary, but also use I, like, hey, focus on you, not what they did. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if somebody was to break my toy, my favorite toy, and I'm a kid, I would say I became upset because my favorite toy is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't be like, you broke my favorite toy, so now the other person gets defensive. So I definitely would start a lot of things with I. And I also like to use the word and instead of but when I communicate, because and is an addition to, but when you say but that means you kind of negated everything you said before that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you and someone are having a conversation about anger, use the word and use the word I.
I love it. Well, y'all, this has been another great episode of Speaking with Gravity.
Yes.
And this is our third episode of this season together. How y'all feeling?
Feeling great. Season 8, season 8.
Yeah,
yeah. Spanish.
Yeah. A little bit of it.
So we're going to keep this thing going, y'all. Encouraging you out there. Look for ways, healthy ways to deal with your anger and so much more, whatever you got that's underlying, right? We want to make sure that we're addressing those things, dealing with those things, and see a therapist, right? Seek the right kind of help, right? I think it's so important. So I want to continue to encourage you. Please, come and sit with us, be with us again.
Yes.
Next episode, we look forward to that. Look forward to seeing you then. And with that, we'll
get a check us out. See ya.
See you guys.